From the imagination comes the story of a man.
Yo! Come on, boy, let's go. Grass is waiting for you.
With the mind of a child.
Yeah, Cyberman. He came to see me.
Cyberman? Comics, right?
Yeah, Cyberman.
And a doctor.
Virtual reality holds a key to the evolution of the human mind.
With a vision of the future.
I have a game in my house that you might like to play. Would you like that?
Yeah. Okay.
That was really bad.
I have different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
Now, Job Smith is about to enter the world of virtual reality.
Ah, it's gonna hit me!
No, Job, just relax.
It's gonna be like being up there with the stars, Job. They're going to another planet.
His mind is like a clean, hungry sponge.
I just graduated to the next level, Job.
You're not the lawnmower man. You've certainly changed. I don't know how you did it, but I approve.
Absorb Latin yesterday in less than 2 hours.
Job, where are you? Job.
A world where the normal course of events can suddenly turn inside out.
You realize, Dr. Angelo, that my intelligence has surpassed yours.
The imaginary becomes real.
Trying to get inside my head, Joe.
You can't hide anything from me, Dr. Angelo.
In reality,
we have no idea what he's gonna do.
Is all in your mind.
No!
The Lawnmower Man.
Today we're going to reveal the truth about a film called The Lawnmower Man from 1992. I don't know if you've seen this or not. Believe it or not, this is my first time watching it. A cult classic film, I would argue, depicting the fears of virtual reality. Of course, this is the 90s when it was filmed, that we were experiencing that pre-Y2K era. Big ups to KT on this one, on the recommendation there. On the Patreon team, always there for me. And look, I get a lot of recommendations, so don't feel bad if I don't follow through. There's a certain mixture of elements that have to happen for me to watch these movies. a mixture of timing, a mixture of personal interests. And I've always wanted to see Lawnmower Man. I keep hearing about it every so often, every couple of years it comes up, and I'd never seen it, so here we go. Turns out it's definitely Illuminate Confirm. Back in 2017, a VR company named Jaunt was talking about releasing an actual VR version of this tale, so I don't foresee that being, and I tried that Oculus Rift thing, I wasn't that impressed. But Stephen King, he wrote the book. Okay, this gets a little confusing. We're going to take a second to go over the origins of this tale. Stephen King wrote a book called Night Shift, full of short stories. And in it is Lawnmower Man. Okay? Now, it's got some occult symbolism worth talking about. Plots, and by the way, plot spoilers on the book. I mean, I barely call it a book. It's a short story. Plot spoilers on the movie, too. So go watch the movie and come back if you want. But the book that Stephen King wrote is nothing like the film. Almost nothing like the film. The film took a couple elements from the book, combined it with some other plots, but it's nothing like the book. King, in fact, sued the filmmakers in 1992 to remove his name from the title, which I understood after reading the short story. But New Line Cinema, they lost the lawsuit, but then they were real gangsters about it and proceeded to release it as Stephen King's The Lawnmower Man. So there you have it. But the book is a very curious tale of a man who is hired as a lawn cutting service. And he's a total weirdo. He shows up to the houses to mow the yards. He proceeds to strip naked. He's eating the grass. He's even eating a mole that gets chipped up by a mower. And he's rambling on about sacrifices to the god Circe. And in the book, he kills the homeowner in a ritual sacrifice to this goddess. Yeah. That's the story in the book. In Night Shift, in the short stories. I pulled out a couple notes for you, so you don't have to go read the book. The lawnmower man grinned at him with 1,000 traveling salesman jokes in his eyes. The taller the better. Healthy soil, that's what you got there. By Circe. That's what I always say. By Circe? And then, you know, Circe, like I implied, is a goddess, a pagan goddess, a witch of magic in the old pagan times. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Maybe not. Circe. C-I-R-C-E. Later on in the book, as a good Republican, he considered the Wall Street executives behind the column type to be at least minor demigods. By Circe? So here we see a political angle, a commentary on the excesses of capitalism. Further in the book, the lawnmower man had removed his clothes, every stitch. They were folded neatly in the empty birdbath that was at the center of the back lawn. Naked and grass-stained, he was crawling along about 5 feet behind the mower, eating the cut grass. Green juice ran down his chin and dripped onto his pendulous belly, and every time the lawnmower whirled around a corner, he rose and did an odd skipping jump before prostrating himself again. Now, this is talking about, you know, they're describing this naked beast running through the grass, prostrating himself. It's a religious element. Which, I mean, kind of, you read into the movie when we get into that here in 1 second. Okay. Of course, every now and then we run into a customer who doesn't understand. Some people got no respect for efficiency, right? But the boss is always agreeable to a sacrifice. Sort of keeps the wheels greased, if you ask me. Harold said nothing. Harold, of course, is the homeowner. One word kneeled over and over in his mind, and that word was sacrifice. In his mind's eye, he saw the mole spewing out from under the battered red mower. He got up slowly like a palsied old man. Of course, he said, and could only come up with a line from one of his Alicia's folk rock records, God bless the grass. Now, the sacrifice is... One more little bit here, and then we're moving on. Okay, hang on. Let me read this one little passage. Harold noticed the unusually deep split between the first and second toes, almost as if the feet were, well, cloven. It hits everybody kind of hard at first, the lawnmower man said. You'll get used to it. In fact, you might even want to give it a whirl yourself. The boss has always got an eye out for new talent. The boss, Harold repeated faintly. Well, say, buddy, I figured you must have guessed God bless the grass and all. Harold shook his head carefully, and the lawnmower man laughed. Pan's the boss. So, the cloven hoofs indicate Pan is the god that the sacrifices are happening to. Which later is, of course, what Harold's fate becomes. Circe is a sibling to Pan, and ultimately, none of this matters, because it's not in the film. So, but, Stephen King was touching on a pagan, ritualistic, occult tale here, and it morphed its way into this movie about virtual reality. Now, the movie, we're going to have some plot spoilers if you haven't seen it, and it, you know, because maybe you're like me. I had a solid 5 to 10 years of not really watching any movies. You know, I turned, you know, we're talking about late mid-90s to mid-2000s, somewhere in there. I wasn't really watching a lot of movies. I was having a good time. Partying up, you know? Being cool. No, but seriously, there was a bunch of movies I didn't catch, and this is one of them, so there you go. Now, the movie itself, I got a ton of images, a ton of screenshots that are going to be applicable to this conversation. You need to go like and subscribe me on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. That's where I'm going to post them. And, you know, you can hit me on any of the socials. You can find the links in the show notes Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Go do that. Thank you. Now, because I'm going to have a bunch of images and it'll make more sense when you see them. Now, the movie starts out. It's in a lab called VSI, Virtual Space Industries. What is this? Well, it's a conglomerate of Silicon Valley with a military-industrial complex all toying with the mind, because the mind, of course, being the final frontier, not space. The mind. That's what they want to learn about. They don't want to learn about space. They want to learn about the mind, because that's how you control us. And the logo, of course, is a Saturnian cube. Again, image on Instagram. Now, the test monkey that is in this virtual space industries is jacked into this virtual reality thing. It's a war machine. And he breaks loose, and he bodies the security guards, but then Pierce Brosnan shows up. That's Dr. Larry. Dr. Larry is Pierce Brosnan in this tale. He wakes up, and it's just a nightmare. And the Gulf War is playing on TV, because this is, again, the early 90s. But what we see, curiously enough, on his bookshelf next to the TV, we got a Sphinx, which embodies a reconciliation of opposites according to some occult teachings, which kind of will play it later, and also a copy of a book called Dr. Strangelove. Again, image on Instagram. And Dr. Strangelove being, of course, the movie Stanley Kubrick made, right? About the dangers and perils of nuclear war. Now, the film's got lots of great 90s virtual reality stuff. And this is how it really was back then. Lots of hype. Lots of corny graphics. In fact, I was in, when I was younger, I was at Virginia Beach. And I don't remember how much it costed. It was an obscene amount for the early 90s, $10 maybe, to play this VR game. And I went inside the big, whatever that thing is, the big sphere. Big Merovingian man sphere, and put on the gloves and all that stuff, and I was fighting some weird dragon thing. It was pretty cool. But, I mean, that was like, you know, it ain't that cool. But it was back in the day. And there was a lot of promise for VR. You just assumed it was going to be everywhere. You just assumed that this was going to take over the world, and, you know, what happened? It's been 25, 30 years. Still sucks. But we find out, and it's like that joke John Mulaney has on his stand-up about quicksand. You know, he said, growing up, I always thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem than it really was. Anyways, so we find out this nightmare that Dr. Larry was having, it was true. The chimp was the next step before they were going to do it to a human. And it went a little mad. Now, Dr. Larry thinks that the VR holds the key to evolution of the human mind and is threatening to leave VSI and the shop, as they call it, that's the handlers, and do it privately. And at this point, you know, amidst all the strife that Dr. Larry's having at his workplace, we're introduced to Job, mentally handicapped, that is a savant with mowers. I mean, could you think of a worse thing you could have superpowers for? You get superpowers and it's for running a mower? Oh, boy. Thus, the reason the movie is called The Lawnmower Man, right? Which is something I always wondered, having not watched the film. So this is a terrible name for the film, right? I should have named it something else. Especially because they didn't use Stephen King's book anyway. Now, Job was curious, if you don't know what he looks like, if you've seen Tropic Thunder, Ben Stiller as a simple Jack, that's exactly what he looks like. Exactly to a T. I can't prove to you that he's based off the same character, but I guarantee you he is. Now, Dr. Larry, he's at home and he's in the basement and he's all jacked into his little personal VR machine because, you know, again, this is the future where VR is all around everywhere we go. And his girlfriend, Caroline, she comes down. She unplugs Larry from his VR machine, and she says, oh, you're flying and floating. What's next? And then she says the F word, which I will refrain for you, because I know half of you are trying to keep your kind of to keep your mouth clean. So, yeah, she says that. But, yeah, that's the plan. The plan is the sexy time in virtual reality. Okay? Because this falls into a lot of these. And this is a bigger topic when we look at Bill Gates and all these globalist types. They want us focused. And if you go back to this Dr. Richard Day, the guy who started Planned Parenthood. And look, I got no problem with Planned Parenthood. I think people who aren't ready for kids shouldn't have kids. You know what I'm saying? But this Dr. Day guy that set it up was more into eugenics kind of stuff. That's the conspiracy, at least. And I've read some, you know, they claim, this is such a rabbit hole. They claim, like David Icke cites Richard Day all the time. And they claim that he had this big meeting in like 1969 in Pittsburgh where he told the truth about the Planned Parenthood thing. But then I read these transcripts that said, oh, well, he said there was no, you couldn't record it. You couldn't even take notes. So there's no real proof of this thing. No hardcore proof, at least. But what he was saying was he wants to, one of his components of the agenda is that for people to not have sex in a procreative manner, for people to have sex with things other than other people, and this would in fact fit into that category. That's what they want, is this virtual reality masturbation thing. Now, you know, in the movie, it's so unreal too. Like, she doesn't, of course, it's like a video game, you know. Women hate video games, but she's pissed off. She's mad at him. She's like, you're spending all your time down here playing with the video games. But then immediately she's like, all he does is kind of give her a hug. Oh, I'm sorry, baby girl. And immediately she's cool with him. And she even wants to have sex. It's total Hollywood nonsense, right? Now, throughout the film, the neighbor's kid, he's getting the shit kicked out of him. And Job, who's the handicapped guy, he also lives behind this church, and it's implied that the priest, Father McKean, is abusing him physically and sexually. He's rubbing on his hair all creepy. But the point of all that is there's this nihilism in the film, a breakdown of the family structure, right? Because man is nothing but a beast, showing us how great virtual reality can be and how awful the real world is. Specifically with the church here, marriage and families and all that. And in fact, to drive the point home further, Dr. Larry is putting in a journal entry and he writes, he doesn't write, he's dictating to this journal because it's the future, you know. And he says, work, marriage, life, what a joke, as Caroline leaves his ass to go be with a real man. And the point is, it's opening up to nihilism, this apathetic view of our world, because that's what they want. Okay, just give up. Now, Dr. Larry, you know, he's like, I got an idea. I thought of something great. Let's get this mentally handicapped guy, Job, in on this VR thing and make him smarter so people can't take advantage of him. While, in fact, Dr. Larry is taking advantage of him as a lab rat.
Come over here. Sit down. You know, Job, I have other different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
I was born dumb.
But you would like to be smarter, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Well, if you were smarter, I mean, people wouldn't be able to take advantage of you. Do you understand what I mean, Job?
Yeah. Sometimes they do. They do.
Now, Job, he's sitting in the VR, and he starts this process using these nootropic drugs, flashing symbols everywhere that hit his brain stem, and we see various sigils with Hebrew writing around it flying into his subconscious. And if you freeze the frames, which I did for you, again, Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Go like and subscribe. I do images on all my shows, okay? Well, not all of them, most of them. So you catch them all right there. And then I put some fun ones once in a great while of my dogs or me being stupid, saying stupid things. Now, the images you'll see when you go like and subscribe are Masonic type compass and squares, magic Enochian circles. Why are these the symbols flying into this guy's brain? Well, we'll find out before this is over, friends. The process is working. Job's getting smarter every day. And we see the all-seeing eye proving who the source of wisdom is. It's the all-seeing eye, the third eye, the one opened by that snake, that serpent, Lucifer. Again, image. Hit the show notes. Like and subscribe. Job takes his shirt off. He's getting smarter, but he takes his shirt off, and guess what? He's also shredded now. He's ripped. Mowing the lawn, looking good. The priest breaks into Job's little home, and Job finally stands up for himself. You know? They're building sympathy for this Job character. And, he finally stands up to this abusive priest. The priest thinks Dr. Larry put the devil inside of Job's head. So here you have a clear battle of good and evil, where the priest is evil and VR and science is good. That's where we're at currently in the film. Later it changes. Well, later it's sort of changed. But that's... No, it doesn't. I take that back. It does not change. That's the theme throughout the movie. The priest is evil because the church is bad. And VR and science and Dr. Larry and all this crazy mind control stuff is great. So Job, you know, he's shredded now, but now he's dressing real nice. He's got the beautiful feathered hair and wearing the Wranglers. And Dr. Larry's hooking up with him, saying, hey, man, let's, put your stranglers on. Let's go into the work lab, and we're going to push the limits to the edge. And then when they get to the lab, Dr. Larry explains how it all works. And what do you know? You're not going to believe what you hear. The computer, the cyber suits, they are used to put the person into virtual reality with the entire nervous system and endocrine system plugging into the brain network, including adrenal gland secretions, a.k.a. adrenochrome.
This is some of the most advanced computer equipment in the world, Joe. In these gyrospheres, we wear full cyber suits, which completely allow us to enter into virtual reality and move. Your entire nervous system and endocrine system will be in sync with the brain expansion.
Endocrine?
Endocrine. It carries secretions of certain glands like thyroid, adrenal, and pituitary, which regulate growth. Sometimes, I think I've discovered a new planet.
Now, of course, I don't know that it's adrenochrome, but that's what they claim. The adrenal gland secretions are adrenochrome that these, allegedly, the celebrities are drinking to maintain their youth, their youthful appearance. I don't know that I believe all that. It's pretty far out there. But maybe, I'm not saying, I definitely haven't seen anything to, I mean, you've got this whole weird thing with Minerva and the sacrifices to the gods. Maybe. Now, as Job is being given the lab's mega level brainwash, if you freeze the frame again, you see the Chaos Magic Star, the 8-pointed Magic Star of Chaos. They're implanting this into reality. This is what the film is about. It fits into that cognitive model idea. And of course, Chaos Magic being the idea that you can use any character, any archetype to use as ritual magic. So they're using the substrate of this film to implant this idea and try to make it reality. That's what I've been arguing for many, many years. Again, image on Instagram. Now, Job has a peculiar experience. He's learning about the arts. He's learning about Van Gogh. And then he becomes obsessed with music. It's a very short part of the film, and they don't really address it, but I caught it. He's obsessed with music all of a sudden. Because up until this point, he's just kind of more factual. But it's when they tap into this side of his brain, the creative element, which is where Kenneth Grant says, is the Mauv Zone. It's where creativity resides, where the dark demons, the Klepoth, reside. Only when he does this, it unlocks the psychic powers. He's got the cities. He's able to...
He's
got telekinesis, telepathy, all this crazy stuff. But Job, now that he's got these superpowers, he thinks he's God. The experiment, of course, went too far, right? Because he's got the CDs, he's got the telekinesis, he's reading people's minds, he's moving things, he's mowing with his brain. And he starts getting out of control. He takes his, he's got this little boo thang, Marnie. He takes her into the virtual reality world also. And, it doesn't work out so good for her. but what's curious, and this is where earlier we alluded to the idea of these sigils and stuff in the film. Why are they implanting them into his brain? Well, we find out. We find out that man is evolving, but as he tells you, it's the ancient wisdom.
This is also new.
It's not new. I realize that nothing we've been doing is new. We haven't been tapping into new areas of the brain. We've just been awakening the most ancient. This technology is simply a route to powers that conjurers and alchemists used centuries ago. Human race lost that knowledge, and now I'm reclaiming it through virtual reality.
You're moving too fast. Even with all these new abilities, there are dangers. Man may be able to evolve a thousandfold through this technology, but the rush must be tempered with wisdom.
Yes, it's not from the future, it's from the past. Again, this is a concept I believe I talked about in The Dark Path. I believe it's on the quote, Helena Blavatsky mentioned something about the ancient gods are the gods of the future, right? That's what they all believe. Now, Job, he has surpassed the intelligence of his creator, Dr. Larry, and he broke free from his oppressor, the priest, the church, God. God's the bad guy, a typical Gnostic inversion, and virtual reality would therefore be the Lucifer, the enlightening, the illuminator, right? And you even hear Dr. Larry talking about how the rush of evolution must be tempered with wisdom. Classic Luciferianism, which will again appear in this film towards the end. If you think I am being a little too over paranoid about things. Now, Job, he's like addicted to this. He takes himself a big old hero dose of nootropics. He jacks into VR again. This time we hear the priest telling him the devil is in his head, while we see a sort of compass and square kind of thing, as above, so below, of course. This is one of the images that flashes into his brainstem. Now Job, he visits the priest and calls him the devil. But now Job is like threatening him, right? And the priest is begging for forgiveness from God for actually molesting the kids. So we confirm that's what's happening. But Job burns him up like a fire starter. And thus the revenge killings start as he pays a visit to the gas station attendant who was picking on him. And we see the all-seeing eye on Job. He is now awakened. Okay? He's awakened from the Luciferian spirit of the VR. Now, Job, he's able to get into everyone's heads, and he's manipulating their thoughts at this point, okay? Because he thinks he's God. The virtual reality will be evolving our world, and Job becomes pure energy when he gets into the neural net. That's what we find out in the film.
I gave myself a boost, Doctor. Oh. Virtual reality is not just a simulation. It's a whole other world, a new electric dimension. A utopia, Doctor. The utopia that men have dreamed of for a thousand years, and I'll be the conduit.
Joe.
want to create monsters.
You killed two people, Job.
Why?
You've got to let me help you.
Help me? I'm going to help you, Dr. Angelo. I'm going to help all of you cleanse this diseased planet.
Note that he says he's going to cleanse the diseased planet. And what's curious is that when he says that, not only is that the you know, that's the mentality of these folks, which we're going to get to in the conclusion. That's the mentality of these folks. They think that everyone's diseased, the humans are a real mess, and they need to get rid of the imperfect ones. But we see on the screen, while he's saying this, a black and a white sphere. That is, of course, the reconciliation of opposites. Okay? And again, I got the image on the Instagram. Hit the thing. Okay? But what's curious is that that's what Tracy Twyman talked about when she was channeling the Baphomet and the demons and Lucifer and all this crazy stuff, is that the black and the white sphere, when they touch and reconnect, it's the end of the world. When the as above, so below crosses the threshold. Now, Job, he is curiously positioned on the virtual reality machine in the pose of the Merovingian man. This is the same pose you see in Westworld. Now, the Vitruvian man, what did I say before? Merovingian man, sorry. I was confused with too much Matrix on the brain. The Vitruvian man, that is symbolic of the five elements. Okay, that's the pentagram. It represents the planet Venus, the morning star. Of course, you know, that all ties into you-know-who, the big snake. But yeah, that's what we see on Westworld and in this movie, of course. Why not, right? Says that, and in the movie, Job is kind of he's in the virtual reality world getting kind of nutty, right? And he says all the humans will end up being inside of his network that he's going to be God by the year 2001, which is curious, right? Curious year. Because Kubrick, of course, filmed 2001 A Space Odyssey, and in his at the beginning of the film, we saw that Dr. Larry's got the Dr. Strangelove book on his bookshelf. And we see Job going around killing folks, right? And I feel like you couldn't have the Matrix without the Lawnmower Man. So if you like the Matrix, check out Lawnmower Man. Especially when, you know, there's these guys like that disintegrate when Job mentally attacks them, just like the agents in The Matrix. Now, we're near the end of the movie, okay? It's almost over. And we hear the mentality of these folks that are into this kind of stuff. Job says that humans need to be led, and, you know, Dr. Larry's in the VR with him trying to, like, talk him off the ledge, because at this point Job is trying to get into the network to become God of the virtual reality. Dr. Larry jacks into the virtual reality. He's like, no man, don't do it. Well, of course Job doesn't like that, so he attacks Dr. Larry and throws him on a cross, a commentary on religion's place in this new world.
No, I must find a way out.
No. I can't let you do it, Joe.
You.
Yes, me.
You did this. You cut the network connection, but I'll find a way out.
All this power isn't meant to be in the hands of one person.
You're wrong. You need to be led, just like everyone else. It's a basic need.
This technology is meant to expand human communication, but you're not even human anymore! What you've become terrifies me. You're a freak!
Your naive idiocy makes me very angry!
So Job and Dr. Larry, they have it out, and, you know, I don't want to give away, well, we're going to give away the movie anyway, so Job, he actually hacks into this network. He's successful on it. But Dr. Larry, he's back in his basement talking to his journal, and he has a very curious statement he makes about embracing the wisdom.
July 10th. Last journal entry for a while. I won't let Job's death be for nothing. What happened to him is my responsibility. For some reason, I've been given a second chance. So I'm taking my work underground. I can't let it fall into the wrong hands again. If we can somehow embrace our wisdom instead of ignorance, this technology will free the mind of man, not enslave it.
He's talking about embracing the wisdom. Of course, that is the reference to Lucifer, the Luciferian religion. And he says it as he's blowing out a match, the flame, the illumined flame. So, in fact, Dr. Larry is illuminate confirmed, but you'll notice that his tone is kind of like, well, this is still the way forward. We just got to tweak it and fix it. It's not perfect because, screwed this up, but we're going to get it just right. And that's the way of the future. Which is the same concept we see over and over from all these technocrats, these Silicon Valley type guys. They think they can perfect mankind through their man-made technology. And while I'm not a Luddite, I don't think technology is inherently bad. I think that mentality is, though. I think that technology can only take you so far. I think that, I'd prefer to talk to someone one-on-one than through email, right? We all get that. Or even talking on the phone. I mean, that's a form of technology. There's something to be had for a personal human-human connection. And that's what these people don't get, these nerds in Silicon Valley, because they're, God bless them, they're just doing their thing, and they're not into people. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't try to change our reality to fit your twisted and warped concept of what it is to be human. This is something we see in Westworld over and over, especially season 3. But that is the scary thing about these guys. They're gaining a lot of wealth. They're gaining a lot of power. And this is what they want. They want to follow into the Luciferian religion, and they want to become your god. So again, check out the links in the show notes. Go like and subscribe to Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Check out the screenshots. You won't believe what you see. I'll just tell you that much. And until next time, stay woke.